This is Jay Sekulow, a party line vote on articles of impeachment.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Mr. Chairman, there are 23 ayes and 17 noes.
The article is agreed to. The resolution is amended as ordered, reported favorably to the House. Members will have 2 days to submit views. The resolution will be reported as a single amendment in the nature of a substitute. Without objection, staff is authorized to make technical and conforming changes. Without objection,
Mr.
the committee
Chairman,
is adjourned.
Mr. Chairman,
pursuant what to purpose does the gentleman seek recognition?
Pursuant to Clause 2L of Rule 11, I give notice of intent to file dissenting views.
Notice is heard. Without objection, the committee is adjourned.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The case is so darn weak coming over from the House. We all know how it's going to end. There's no chance the president's going to be removed from office.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, well, not unexpected, although maybe unexpected today, because we were expecting it last night that the Judiciary Committee would actually vote on articles of impeachment. They did. The vote was on party lines. It is the two counts, abuse of power and also the obstruction of Congress. So these were the exact two counts that have been discussed. Fan was interesting last night in that I was watching it. We were all anticipating a vote around 10 o'clock, 10 to 11. And, of course, Jerry Nadler calls it and he decides not to have the vote. And the sentiment was he wanted higher TV ratings, which I'm not sure he got today at 10 o'clock. But what's your sense?
I think it was the continuation of a political circus, honestly, Jay. I mean, they convened Wednesday night for opening statements, had 14 hours of debate yesterday. And during that 14 hours, Chairman Nadler didn't see fit to tell the GOP side of the aisle that he wasn't going to vote on those articles until tomorrow morning. Jay, look, maybe I'm cynical here, but I think it was to have more cameras in the room. I mean, just to make sure that that vote was on TV, because when they convened this morning, Jay, at 10 o'clock, they were only in the room for a few minutes. They went home for a few hours, came back for a few minutes to vote on these two articles. But at the end of the day, Jay, you're left with the same thing you had when they began this process a couple of days ago. Two paper-thin articles of impeachment that have been sent to the floor of the House.
Two articles, Andy, that do not have an allegation of criminality.
No, there is no crime that's committed that I can see that exists in the United States criminal code or that has been known in the common law. These are made up
nor high
offenses.
Crime nor misdemeanor.
They're not high crimes and misdemeanors. This was a political move solely, and the language in the resolution which I read, which now is HRES 755 is the name of it, is highly vitriolic. It's repetitive language. It is language that does not really adequately address anything that is an impeachable offense, in my opinion.
Harry, what's your sense of what we've got now? I mean, this is not on. It's not that we didn't anticipate it. We've got it. We'll talk about the process. We a little bit later when we come back from the break. But where do you see it right now?
Well, Jay, the articles of impeachment are headed to the House floor after 14 hours of debate. This confirms one thing and one thing only. Democrats believe that this upcoming presidential election is simply too important to be left to the voters, particularly the voters in flyover districts, particularly to working class voters. So with agreements on the U.S.-Mexico Canada trade agreement, with the phase one trade deal with China, with record job and income growth, with unemployment at record lows, the Democrats do not believe that they can beat Trump or Trump voters, who they have consistently defamed as deplorables. That's why we have the articles of impeachment.
What do you think, Jordan?
I think at the end of the day, because they've moved forward this way, and last night being another Jerry Nadler disaster, because the truth is it was during prime time. You could have gotten the vote done when a lot more people can watch television than they can during the middle of the morning when they're on the way to work or at work. But let me just put it this way. They may be, you know, Nadler, Schiff, Pelosi, they may be celebrating today, but they will not be very happy 11-3-2020, because I think this action, they just reelected President Donald Trump.
During the break, I'm going to let our Facebook and Periscope audience know kind of what I anticipate next, what I think is going to happen at the Senate trial too, how that's going to play out. So share this with your friends. We encourage you to do that. If you're watching on any of our social media platforms, which are many, we encourage you to do that, and we encourage you to do that now. So share this with your friends. Also, don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ and our Matching Challenge campaign, ACLJ.org for that. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls and comments, 800-684-3110.
Thank you.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. Taking your calls, 800-684-3110. So articles of impeachment out of the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee. It's not to the floor of the House yet, but the anticipation is it's going to pass. Now, we're going to get into what it's going to look like in the Senate in a moment, but I want to tell you first how this process is going to work. So, and here's the great question, and I want to go to Than and Jordan on this. Than, I'm going to go to you on the technical question. Will there be floor debate on the House? Will we go through another 2 days of this, or is it just going to be a vote, or do we know yet?
You know, it's interesting. I was actually just having a conversation with our producer, Will, about that, because, Jay, I don't think the Democrats have decided. I'm getting conflicting information from the Hill about how they're going to handle this. Chairman Nadler last night, Jay, technically forwarded this or reported this out of the committee as one resolution. He did not separate the questions, so separate the articles. Now, that can still be done. The Rules Committee will likely meet on Monday to decide how the debate will be governed on the House floor. That is when we will know the answer to basically both of your questions. How much time will be available for debate, if there will be amendments offered, whether or not they will separate those two questions. So in other words, Jay, will they take just one vote on both articles together, or will they take a vote on each of them? And Jay, I suspect that all of those decisions will come down to how many defections they have inside their caucus. For a data point, Congresswoman Elisa Slotkin from Michigan was on with Bill Hemmer this morning. She indicated she's undecided, Jay, and I think there are dozens of undecided Democrats in the House.
Dozens?
Dozens of undecided. There won't be dozens of no, because they're going to get tons of pressure, Jay. But I think there are dozens who would prefer to vote no if they were allowed to.
I mean, is there any chance that this doesn't pass the House of Representatives?
I've been in Washington, D.C. a long time,
yeah,
and I would never
say never.
There is no chance of anything. But, Jay, I think we have to be straightforward. The expectation is they've crossed this Rubicon, and Speaker Pelosi is going to force enough of those Democrats who don't want to support it to support it, probably at their own political peril.
Yeah, I mean, again, two things that have, I think, really damaged the Democrats. One, of course, the House Judiciary Committee, completely along party lines. They couldn't convince, after all of that time, a single Republican. And the Republican Party is a much more Big Ten party right now than the Democrat Party. So there's a lot more, you know, you have Republicans that routinely criticize the president for the way he conducts the presidency. And yet, not a single defection in the House Judiciary Committee. Completely party line. What we're talking about is not any Republican defections in the House or Senate, by the way. It's interesting that what we're talking about is Democrats defecting in the House. There will certainly be some Democrats who vote against impeaching President Trump, both in the House and the Senate. I really do believe that. So the only thing that will be bipartisan about this is acquitting President Trump and not impeaching, not wanting to impeach the president. Because a partisan move like this is such a political failure for the Democrat Party. And again, you see what they are willing to drag our country through. It's disgusting. But at the same time, you look at the stock market, you look at the economy, it's having no impact. Democrats should be able to read tea leaves. Everyone knows it's a sham. It's fake. It's not an impeachment that's going anywhere. This president is remaining in office and will likely, this helps him get reelected. I'm not saying no one wants to get impeached. It's not pleasant. But this whole presidency has been very tough for this president, and he has always put America's interests first. That's why you continue to get the legislation done on the trade deal and things like that, even while he's got a Democrat House impeaching him. But at the end of the day, everyone should remember. Everyone should remember what these Democrats have put the country through when all we could have just waited to November and had a vote.
No, they said you can't have a vote. You can't trust this to the American people.
No.
Because of, what was it, Harry? They said election interference? A potential election interference?
Yes, and a continuing crime spree. Yeah.
Yes, the FBI and CIA must not be very good at handling that anymore still. I mean, you know, that's the truth. If the Democrats really believe that, yet they mock us for saying that the FBI needs to be, like, really top down, from the top down, redone, CIA and a lot of our intelligence agencies, yet they call us crazy for saying, oh, that they're, you know, it's out of control and that they're spying and they're doing this to Americans. And on FISA, they're making all these mistakes. But yet they don't trust those institutions at the same time to protect our electoral system. It's absolutely absurd. It's absolutely absurd. I mean, this is Jerry Nadler. I mean, this is like another T-shirt. I mean, this will be a T-shirt probably from the Trump campaign or some kind of slogan. Take a listen, Byte 44.
We cannot rely on an election to solve our problems when the president threatens the very integrity of that election.
I mean, just think about what he said. I mean, first of all, the whole Russia collusion interference, Bob Mueller, after $35 million and 40 FBI agents and 18 prosecutors, said there's nothing there, Andy.
Yeah.
Notice what's not in this impeachment.
Not one mention of the Mueller investigation or Russia collusion. Bob Mueller, he used to be the director of the FBI, but he's a guy who's slipping and who slipped and who slipped badly. And the Democrats knew that when they had him before the committee, and they knew not to go there for purposes of
impeachment.
Supposedly,
Lawrence Tribe told him not to include those. That's what I heard last night.
Oh, Lawrence
that
Tribe.
Professor
biggest,
Tribe from Harvard said, do not include those on the as part of the articles of impeachment.
Not a bad idea.
Probably was right on that, I would say, on 100 different levels. All right, so, Than, let's talk about what the process looks like to next week, and then we're going to take it to the Senate and what happens there.
So process-wise, it's now been reported out of the Judiciary Committee. It is now the purview of Speaker Pelosi. She has to decide when this vote is going to happen on the floor of the House. Procedurally, the Rules Committee will have to meet first, and generally that happens 2 days in advance of consideration. So I suspect that will happen on Monday, and at that point you'll start to get the parameters of what that debate will look like. But Jay, I would just caution people, even if they meet and report out a rule and there's an announcement that there's a Wednesday vote, that will not be ironclad, because again, this has not been formally whipped by Speaker Pelosi. So you go back to the old adage, when you have the votes to pass the resolution, you take the vote. But I'm not sure how confident she's going to be in that count. So I think it could move forward, it could move back based on where she thinks those votes are. But Jay, I would tell you this, as soon as she's confident she's got 216, she's going to rush to the floor for a vote.
I'm going to save what happens in the Senate to the next segment. But could you imagine them? I just want to put this in people's thoughts. With the way they conducted themselves in the House, could you imagine if those are the managers that will now face the legals team?
Lindsey Graham.
And the members of the United States Senate.
Yeah, U.S. senators and actual lawyers.
Yeah.
You know, not they're just staff counsels that they're used to dealing with.
No, actual defense lawyers.
Yeah, right. No. I mean, and yet they're all, you know, I mean, if they pick Adam Schiff,
it's going to be Adam Schiff,
Eric Swalwell, and who's obviously trying to get it since he had to drop out of the presidential race. And you could tell who was trying to get it in that 14 right. hours of debate last night. I mean, and a couple of these others. Again, I mean, the Raskin. Again,
not to be confused with my colleagues.
No, but this former con law, another liberal professor. Again, they already had 14 hours of debate.
They get hit with questions now.
Right. They're not.
They
weren't very good last night.
They couldn't even get through the process last night. That's why he stopped it.
Yeah, he stopped it because they could not answer these parliamentary questions. It's because it's impossible to defend these articles of impeachment. So instead, they just attacked the president all night. The Democrats. That was their response to every time the Republicans did.
Yeah.
They tried to attack the president. At one point, one of the congressmen actually said, we should impeach him because his chair was taller than the Ukrainian president's chair in one of the meetings. Now, the White House tweeted out the picture. It was the same chair. The president just happens to be a foot taller than the Ukrainian president. So you're going to impeach the president because he's taller? No, not the chair was actually the right height. They had the same chair.
With Queen Victoria, you had to have the right height, right, Andy?
Yes, and Disraeli knew that. He cut the legs of the chair so her feet wouldn't be dangling.
Right, there you go. So this is the chair rule. So no article of impeachment on chair height. But this is going to take on, as I said, I'm going to give you a kind of a preview of what I anticipate is going to happen in the United States Senate. But Harry, if you look at this from a constitutional perspective, abuse of power, we don't even know what that means. Abuse of power was, I don't like the phone call he made with Ukraine.
Absolutely.
And then the second one is this obstruction of Congress, except he was exercising constitutional rights.
Absolutely. So if you look at the first charge, abuse of power, the claim is President Trump used the powers of his high office and solicited the interference of a foreign government, Ukraine, in the 2020 United States presidential election. There is no evidence in the transcript of the phone call having to do with the 2020 election. Oh. The president was largely focused on the 2016 election and dealing with the blowback from Bob Mueller's inquiry, which was indeed initiated and launched by the Democrats.
Or in the words of Rosanna Dana, never mind. Oh, boy. All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Those of you watching on social media, share it with your friends. We've got a lot of people watching right now. We encourage you to share it with your friends, and that's an important way to get the conversation out. We will take calls, so folks are hanging on. 800-684-3110. Jordan's going to let you know how you can support the work of the ACL Janner Matching Challenge. And for those of you on Facebook and Periscope, I want to share something with you during the break here, and then I'll let the radio audience know when we get back.
The Matching Challenge month of December means whatever you donate is effectively doubled for the American Center for Law and Justice. Donate today at aclj.org. It's not just about the ACLJ, too. It's also about this broadcast that you listen to every day. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to JSecure Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's take some phone calls now. Tim calling in from Michigan online too. Tim, welcome to JSecure Live. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Tim.
Couple of quick questions. One is, they're accusing the president of his abuse of power, like you guys were talking about a minute ago. Are they not abusing Nadler and Pelosi and Schiff? Aren't they abusing their power with all the secret stuff? And
well, no, they're abusing their power by bringing an article of impeachment on obstruction of Congress. And by the way, John Turley said this. Let me play what John Turley said. Do we have that? Play it.
I can't emphasize this enough, and I'll say it just one more time. If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You are doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. We have a third branch that deals with conflicts of the other two branches. And what comes out of there and what you do with it is the very definition of legitimacy.
So, Harry and Andy, this is where I'm aiming this at you two. The idea that you're exercising constitutional right, that they want to challenge, they can challenge it and say it's not appropriate. You would do that in the courts.
Absolutely.
But to then say it's an article of obstruction of Congress because you're litigating it or asserting a constitutional privilege is really a they are the ones obstructing Congress or obstructing justice.
Absolutely. In a sense, what the Democrats are attempting to do is to create an imperial Congress, a Congress that rules and lords it over the executive branch. What the Democrats fail to recognize is that pursuant to the Constitution, we have three co-equal branches of government, and disputes between the executive branch and the legislative branch are settled in court. And the Democrats absolutely refuse to do the hard work of litigating their disagreement with the executive branch in court. They say, we don't have time. It's an existential crisis that the president continues to interfere with our elections. There is absolutely no evidence of that. So what the Democrats ultimately have is a flimsy, non-existent factual record in order to support either charge that they're bringing before the United States House.
Andy?
Well, it scares me to think that a subpoena is issued by the House of Representatives and the president says, I exercise my executive privilege and direct you 5, 7, 8 people who are named in the article, in the resolution, not to testify because of executive privilege, and I want to oppose a subpoena. It scares me that is translated into an obstruction of justice and made an article of impeachment. Resort to the courts. Where else do you go? Resort to the streets? Are we going to have a fist fight about it? You go to an Article III judge and you say, Judge, we think this subpoena is beyond the reach of what it should be, and it should be quashed, and this person should not be required to produce documents
right.
or testify. What's wrong with that? You don't impeach presidents over doing that sort of thing.
But they have now lowered the bar on impeachment so much, Jordan, that they have trivialized the impeachment process.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when you have two articles of impeachment, one which is abuse of power, made up one, and then the second one, which is obstruction of Congress without using the statute for obstruction of Congress, because you don't want to have to prove the elements of that statute,
right.
including corrupt intent, because you have no witnesses that would be allowed under the federal rules of civil procedure who could testify in the Senate. You know, it's all that would be able to give you the intent of the president to even try to make that case. So they even, when they could have put an actual criminal statute in,
they didn't.
They didn't because they didn't want to have to prove it.
I think that's right. No, so Than, again, for our audience that just might be joining us, you're expecting the floor vote next week. We do not know if there will be any further debate.
We don't. We won't know that until the Rules Committee reports out a rule. I suspect, Jay, and this is just a guess on my part, that there will be limited debate. I think at this point there's probably not a whole lot more that they can do to make their case. I am curious to know, though, how much authority that rule gives to both the minority side and then also how it structures these votes. I mean, my anticipation, Jay, would be just like in Judiciary Committee that there will be two votes, one on each article. But it seemed to me that the way that the chairman reported that there's some ambiguity on that at this point. But look to that Monday rules meeting, Jay, that's when we'll know a lot more on that point.
What people need to understand, though, and I think this is the important part to understand, is that this goes now from the Senate, from the House, once it's approved on the floor, to the Senate. And that's a whole new ballgame. It's called a trial there because they can approach and approve articles of impeachment. The House does not get to convict or acquit. And can you imagine, I can, what this hearing is going to be like in the United States Senate for if the managers are who we think they're going to be? Because their case is based on not just quicksand, it's based on mud. They will get tied up in their own mess as they walk through to the well of the Senate, because they're going to get real questions. They'll be able to present their case. They'll get real questions. Lawyers can do real objections. Lawyers can do real questions. Members can do real questions. And let's be honest, they don't have a very hospitable body that they're going to, because they themselves made a mockery out of this entire process. So understand what they've said. They've lowered the bar so significantly here that the first blowback they're going to have is the what I call political legal blowback, which is going to be in the Senate. And then there's going to be a blowback in the body politic. Well, that's already not happening.
The biggest blowback, I mean, here it is. I mean, Mitch McConnell, this is what they're going to have to deal with. Democrats have set themselves up to be defeated. Defeated in impeachment, and then defeated at the ballot box. Because when you're hearing this from people like Mitch McConnell, take a listen, Byte 34.
The case is so darn weak coming over from the House. We all know how it's going to end. There's no chance the president's going to be removed from office.
Then why are they doing this?
And he's a careful politician and a strategic politician, very smart.
Why
he wouldn't make a statement
that
bold? Because they have no candidates. Joe Biden's challenging 83-year-old men to push-ups and calling them fat. I mean, literally, his campaign events. His son probably should be investigated. And literally, he's still leading in their national polls. Elizabeth Warren has become wants to, you know, raise everyone's taxes, and it's $30, $40 trillion.
And her Medicare for All just failed.
You've got a Mayor Pete, who is literally my age, should not be president of the United States, even though the age is allowed. I mean, she just shouldn't be. I mean, it was done at a time, if you want to get original intent of the founding fathers, because people didn't live very long. So, you know, 35, you know, you might not live past 55 or 60, but this is a different time. So experience does count. And again, he's a mayor of South Bend. It's not like he became a young governor or something of a state. He was the mayor of South Bend. Nothing against South Bend. But I think a lot of people in South Bend would say he hasn't done it that great of a job. That's why he's trying to get out. So you look at those candidates. I mean, Kamala Harris dropping out because he couldn't fund it.
Unreal, really.
I guess, you know, they realized they had nothing else. They have nothing else. They don't even want to focus on that. I mean, think about it. We used to, like, those Democrat debates used to get a lot of attention. I think there's one, like, next week?
Yeah.
What channel is it on? Don't know. And the Democrats, they don't want you to know either. They don't want people watching either.
All right, we're taking a break. We come back, we're going to take your calls. If you're on Facebook, Periscope, any of our social media platforms, share it with your friends right now. We encourage you to do that. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more, including your calls and comments, in just a minute. Again, don't forget, go to ACLJ.org.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So two articles of impeachment as anticipated, neither of which are a bribe, treason, high crime, nor misdemeanor, says Andy Economo, correct?
That is correct. You have stated the law correctly. This is a political act that has absolutely no legs to it whatsoever. It charges the president with exercising his, as being an, should be impeached because he exercised a constitutional right to oppose subpoenas and to exert executive privilege, and because he made a telephone call in which he said, why don't you investigate, if you want to, a corrupt person. That does not rise to the level of an impeachable offense.
Now, at the same time, you had an election in the UK yesterday, and that was an overwhelming win for the Conservatives and Boris Johnson. Now, Joe Biden just made an announcement. This is an interesting one. This comes off the fact that a New York Times headline is this morning's headline is Democrats agree on one thing. They're very, very nervous. Harry, what did Joe Biden just say?
Well, Joe Biden warns that Boris Johnson's victory in Great Britain shows the dangers of parties leaning too far left. And I think it's important to take a lesson from that victory because the Democrats in the United States are propelled largely by two things. Number one, vitriol, and number two, left-wing socialist ideology. And so you have candidates like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders who literally want to take Medicare away from the American people under the guise of providing Medicare for all. But nonetheless, those two individuals apparently support giving free health care to illegals. Open borders, free health care for illegals, take away private insurance, both for Medicare recipients and for other individuals in order to destroy health care for all. And so I think Joe Biden is onto something with his warning of the Democrats.
I want to go to Jordan and Than. Politically. We'll get into the substance of how it's going to look coming up. But politically, that headline, very, very nervous. They should be.
Yeah, and it goes on to say, Trump anxiety disorder has morphed into anxiety about everything, and impeachment isn't helping. So that's not helping Democrats feel stronger or better about their chances of defeating President Trump in the ballot box on November 3rd of 2020. I mean, so this is why I think Nancy Pelosi has made the biggest political miscalculation of her career, because she's been pushed along by the far left in her party. It's the only way she got to become Speaker of the House again, and so this is what she's done. She ended up making that. She knew this was a bad decision. She said she didn't want to do this from the get go. She was against impeachment, but she got pushed into doing this by the far left. It is becoming a party that less and less Americans see themselves in. And they just see exactly what British people saw and voted in the UK, what they saw in the Labour Party, which is an anti-Semitic party of activists and kind of nutcases. And that's how you get those election victories like that. The Democrats are putting their nutcases on display. Usually you put them on the back bench.
Yeah,
they're letting them run the party.
And they're well. And then they're going to be walking over to the Senate. So to you, Than, on the same thing, on the politics of it, then I'm going to get into the Senate side. I keep saying that. I promise we will.
Yeah, I just think the Democrat Party, both in Washington, D.C. and out on the campaign trail, got out over their political skis, Jay. I mean, I think now they would like to have an exit ramp, but they feel like it's too late and they can't find one. Look, you know, I said earlier that dozens don't want to vote for this. There were 31 in Trump districts in the House. I think those 31, I think probably at least three dozen wish they didn't have to vote for this, Jay. But, you know, the political pressure in Washington, D.C. will ensure they get to 216. They've crossed the Rubicon and they don't know how to get back across it.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So stay tuned for that. Also, don't forget, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You could do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And we'll take your calls and comments when we come back. And don't forget the matching challenge. We did open up a couple of lines for you. So again, 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
Thank you. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
All right, we may be getting orders from the Supreme Court as early. We'll be off the air, but we've got a couple cases, as you know, for the president up there. It's the Donald J. Trump president versus Cyrus Vance. That's the case out of New York and the New York AG. We also have the Mazars case for the president as well. That case involves the issue of the congressional subpoenas. Both of those are up in conference today. That conference is probably over by now. Orders usually get posted around 2 o'clock Eastern time, so we'll keep you posted on that. If I issue a statement, if there's a grant, I will make sure that we send it out via Facebook, Twitter, or at least by Twitter to let people know. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, Michael calling in from Oklahoma, online one. Michael, welcome to JSecio Live.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I think that it's all very good points that you're making, and I appreciate it. Something that I feel is being forgotten about and needs to be declared and needs to be reinforced is the fact that while the House of Representatives is engaging in this fiasco, this circus, they're not about the people's business. For the last 3 years, they have not been about the people's business the way they need to be. The trade agreement that President Trump signed between our country and Canada and Mexico to replace NAFTA, he signed over a year ago. It's been sitting on Nancy Pelosi's desk. She hasn't allowed it to be ratified because they're engaging in this witch hunt, this circus, this fiasco. And I think that the point needs to be declared and reinforced to the American people that, hey, they have not been about the America's business, the people's business. And I don't think that that's being discussed enough.
Well, I think, look, I think they have made a decision, Than, to go in a different direction, to spend the last year on this once they got the power. I mean, that's, I don't think there's any doubt.
They've made that decision, Jay. That's going to be a terribly tough case to argue to the American voters come next November. I mean, the last jobs report was that there were 266,000 new jobs, the lowest unemployment since 1969. And by the way, Jay, how many people know that Donald Trump's 50th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals judge was confirmed this week? Get this, Jay. There are 29 judges on the infamous left-wing Ninth Circuit Court. 10 of them, over a third of them, were nominated by Donald J. Trump. 10 of 29 judges on the Ninth Circuit belong to Donald Trump. So behind the scenes, there's an awful lot still happening. But come next November, the Democrat Party's not going to be able to take credit for any of it.
All right, so this thing's going over to the United States Senate, and that's going to change the way this entire process looks.
Absolutely. It'll look more like a trial. At this point, it looks like there may not be any witnesses called. So it will literally be these Democrat managers trying to present their case to a Republican majority Senate with the Chief Justice presiding and trying to make the case based off their what was it, seven pages of their articles of impeachment? I mean, not very thick. They got passed out of committee today that will likely be voted on, and so they're going to have to make the case based off that. They're not going to have to. They don't get to bring in a bunch of people to make the case for them. So, but they're going to get cross-examined. They will get questions by senators, by defense attorneys. I mean, so they've set themselves up. I think actually let's take this call because I think Cheryl's got an interesting call in line too. She's calling from Tennessee. Cheryl, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to know, I know memories are short when it comes to voting, and there's a long time between now and the election. Do you think that by the time the election rolls around, that the voters will have a long enough memory to recall this complete circus?
This, yes, because Mueller and then impeachment, and we're not done with it yet. It's going to go into the new year. So, Cheryl, we're not done with the impeachment part. And with what's going to happen to the Democrats and then ultimately this President Trump, being acquitted from all these two articles. Acquitting is like a funny word because neither one of them are even crimes. But again, the Senate voting down, not being removed. I think absolutely the American people who vote in presidential elections are going to remember the obstruction of the Democrats, this entire Congress and the deep state. And that there needs to be more done, and that Donald Trump's the person to do it because he's the only one that had the guts to take this heat. Past presidents go along with what their intelligence community says because they know the intelligence community will come after you. So when you say drain the swamp and you actually start doing it, it's tough. They try to impeach you. But the American people ultimately can reelect you and give you four more years to keep getting rid of these bad actors in Washington, D.C., so that we stop paying their salaries and maybe they can actually start securing the elections like their job is, like they're supposed to, and stop calling our elected leaders national security threats.
Yeah, the other thing is, I think Will points this out, we're under 2 months away from the Iowa caucuses, right? I mean, that's just where it is.
This is all...
If there's going to be an impeachment trial in the Senate, which there will be if it passes, and that could be as early as January 6th and may go a week or 10 days, whatever it is, probably a week or so, they'll probably give 3 days for the managers to present their case. The interesting part about that is a month later, people will actually be voting the Democrats will be voting in the primaries.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why Cheryl asked the proper question, because I think the political calendar is exactly why they rushed this and tried to get it out of the House before the end of Christmas, because they do want as much space before the next election as possible. I agree with Jordan. This one is too big for it to go. And look, I would just say generally on this topic, Jay, I mean, we've talked about how it's a bad thing that the political motivation has been driving this process, and it certainly is. But there's one very good thing about it. The fact that it is political means the American voters get the final say. I mean, the framers did design it that way. So what is essentially a political process will ultimately be thrown back to the voters. And with just a few weeks before the vote and then the Iowa caucus and then on down the line to the presidential election, I think this will be issue number one on voters' minds still next November.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. The Senate hearing will be a rigorous process for the Democrat presenters, Andy.
Yes, it will be. I mean, this is no longer the people's house, that raucous institution of hotheads that is headed by Nancy Pelosi. This is a sober body of 100 people who are going to be sworn in as jurors and who are having to hear this evidence and who are really are, as was mentioned before on the program, seasoned politicians who are very, very smart people and whose questioning really is something that you need to be afraid of. And I think the White House counsel's team is going to be excellent. They're going to be examining these presenters of the managers from the House in great care and great detail.
Lawyers.
Yes, the lawyers. Yeah. And I'm saying White House counsel's lawyers are going to be excellent, and they're going to be looking at with great, great scrutiny at these ridiculous, flimsy, and I'm holding it right now, 9 pages article of impeachment, and it's all repetitive and it's all put in this stock language over and over again. But all it boils down to is he made a bad phone call and he opposed a subpoena.
Yeah, a phone call they didn't like, and he didn't give them everything they wanted.
That's it.
That's it. a new low for articles of impeachment. Let's go ahead and take Debbie's call.
Yeah, Debbie calling in from Massachusetts on line 5. Debbie, welcome to JSEC. You're live.
Hi. I'm not sure if it's a comment or a question, but has anybody looked into how much money that has been spent since the president came aboard on trying to get him out?
Well, we know how much Mueller cost. I mean, that was in about $40-plus million. We know all these committee staffs are making, you know, it's millions of dollars, and that's all they've been focused on. So our intelligence committee, instead of focusing on intelligence, has been focusing on impeaching, getting rid of the president. These House committees, like the Judiciary Committee, has been focused on trying to impeach the president. So you add up all those budgets, and I think that's how much it's cost. I don't think it's just what the Mueller investigation costs, because I think what you're paying for the entire Democrat House of Representatives budget to just keep it running has been basically used to try and get rid of the president because they don't want to face him in an election.
So what does that mean, Fan, politically? Because I think Will pointed out correctly. I mean, this is going to go, so you're going to have articles of impeachment before Christmas. Before the Iowa caucus, you're going to have a Senate trial and an acquittal, because that's what's going to happen on that case. How does this play out politically? What are they? That's why I cannot figure out the political calculus of any of this.
Well, I think it was a mistake, and they realize it now, but they already made it, and they can't walk it back. Look, I think the biggest challenge for Democrat candidates is a continuation of the argument that Jordan just started to make, and it's not just the financial cost, it's the opportunity cost. I mean, look at all of the great indicators in the economy that they're not going to be able to take credit for, and think about the political dance they're going to try to do next week. They're going to impeach the president in the House of Representatives, and then immediately following that, pass one of his foreign policy initiatives. You've also got the first phase of the China trade deal being announced. So, Jay, they're going to try to politically have it both ways, have their cake and eat it too. And look, I just think the American voters are going to see through that. I think if they could do it all over again, Jay, they would just say, okay, we don't love our presidential candidates. We may not win, but we're not going to jeopardize all of our seats as well. Now it's too late. Now they've already done that.
All right, share this with your friends as we go into the last segment. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Big day today, should be anyways, at the Supreme Court for the president. We'll find out. We should find out. It could be delayed till Monday. Sometimes that happens. On at least one of the cases, maybe all three, so we'll see. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110, and don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ.
Yep, the entire month of December, it's a matching challenge month. It means you can double the impact of your donation because we have a group of donors who will match every donation that comes through. Donate today at ACLJ.org. Donate if you enjoy this broadcast. That's part of what keeps this broadcast going, is your support. Donate ACLJ.org and double the impact of your donation. We'll be right back taking your calls.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
All right, we're taking your calls. By the way, could get some Supreme Court news today. If we get it, we will come to you via Twitter. Is that the best way? If we find out the Supreme Court's taking a couple of those cases that we have up there right now on the president for the president, where I'm counsel of record and counsel in all of them, but counsel of record in one of the big ones. So, but counsel in all of them. So we'll see what happens on that. We should know in the next. If you're watching us live, it could be in the next hour or two. If you're watching us tape delayed, you will already know, and we'll get it out on all Twitter platforms. If they get it, sometimes they postpone the order list until Monday, and that could happen too. All right, let's go ahead and take calls. 1-800-684-3110. Who's first?
Yeah, we'll go to Lori in Kansas on line 4. Lori, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you so much. My question is in regard to when President Trump wins, can the Democrats just pick up where they left off and try to get him out of office from day one like they have this year?
Depends who has the House.
Well, it depends on if they – listen, at this point, let's assume he has to win the election. – Senate will maintain Republican, probably add some seats, or at least, but it maintains Republicans. It won't be the U.S. Senate. They're not going to be ever, you know, actually removing him from office. If the House stays under Democrat control, which is possible, I think that it's less likely now. I didn't even think it was in the realm of possibility, even with a great red wave, like my book, The Next Red Wave, said that we could make some gains in the House, but taking back the House was just too tough. Two uphill battle.
Yeah.
So if you don't, but I do think there's a chance now to do it. But if you don't,
yep.
That means Adam Schiff has said he will continue to investigate. So, Al Green said he will continue to put forward articles of impeachment. But that only happens if you keep the House Democrat.
But do the American people tolerate that? Even on round two here,
if the president probably wins, not. But
I mean,
look, their opportunity to preempt that is next November. I fully agree with Jordan on this. And this is, in my mind, Jay, is why it's beyond just the 31 districts who voted for Donald Trump. I think there will be plenty of districts that did not vote for Donald Trump that say, but this is not how we want to run the House of Representatives. So regardless of how their member votes, they will remember that whoever they send to Washington, D.C., their most important vote in the House of Representatives, Jay, is who they vote for Speaker. So if they don't want a Democrat to be Speaker of the House, I think the vulnerability could extend far beyond those 31 we've talked so much about.
All right, let's go ahead and take Karen's call out of Montana on line one.
All right, Karen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
When this goes to a Senate hearing and trial, will President Trump be able to defend himself by having Adam Schiff and his staff and the so-called whistleblower testify? Does he get to answer his accusers?
Well, the president's not going to show up for the Senate hearing. That's not how it works. That'll be the job of us. That'll be the job of the White House counsel, the lawyers. That'll be representing the president's interests. The House members become managers. They are impeachment managers, so they will present the case. And yes, they are subject to question. You asked the question about, are we allowed to call witnesses? Well, you would negotiate that out with the Senate. But I will tell you, and I think it's still fluid, but I will tell you, my inclination at this point is, why would you call witnesses? And Andy and I have tried a lot of cases and over the last 40-plus years of trying cases. Why would you call witnesses here? The record's terrible for them. Try it on the record.
I wouldn't call any witnesses if I was the president's lawyers, but that's a decision that I'm not going to make. But I wouldn't. This is like a directed verdict. In other words, you hear what they say and say, well, you have nothing. I'm not going to require anybody to defend. And then the person who is defending would say, I have nothing to defend against.
The actual way it's set up is this. They would make their opening statements. And then we, with the White House counsel and the private lawyers, if engaged in this, and depends on how it all moves forward and what the rules are, if they'll just be White House counsel, White House counsel plus private lawyers, probably both. But at that point, you would make opening statements. And then the Chief Justice is presiding, by the way, although not voting, but is the presiding officer of this. And then they would put on their case. And then the lawyers, we would put on our case. And then if you had witnesses, you'd deal with the witnesses. But I don't anticipate, I mean, again, fluid, but I don't see why a witness for what? They have established nothing here. They have lowered the bar for impeachment so radically here, Than, that they are harming the country.
Well, and Leader McConnell was on with Sean Hannity last night, and he said two things that were very telling along these lines. First of all, he said this, that the trial in the Senate is going to be based on the trial record that was established in the House, and there really wasn't much of one. And the second thing, Jay, was probably the more significant one. He said, I see no chance of removal of the President of the United States in the United States Senate. So if that's the state of play when the trial begins, I'm not quite sure why you just wouldn't move quickly. You'd get to the conclusion that you know is going to happen, and then you'd go back to the work of the American people.
Yeah, I think that's my view on how it goes, Jordan. That's what I think.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, listen, ultimately, the American people, they get to decide who maintains control of the White House, who maintains control of the Senate, and of course the House. Everyone's up for re-election. So, I mean, the American people have a huge role to play.
Yes.
But these Democrats are not done. I mean, I think this is their, like, this is their only, even if they lose their the White House election again, they're obsessed with going after the president.
I just don't think the American people will tolerate it again. It's going to make them go to work. You have to make them go to work. If the president's reelected and they start doing this again, you make them, the House has to be made to go to work.
Well, I think that that only happens if you defeat the Democrat majority. It only happens. If not, the country is still at a point where they're 40%.
Yep.
And the way that the congressional districts work out, we'll want them to only focus. And I think they lose in the midterms if they don't lose it this time.
Yeah. That's true, too. All right, take another call.
Yep. Let's go to Paula in Florida, line 5. Hey, Paula.
Oh, thank you so much for all you do. I need to find out if the Senate will call the whistleblower or will know if Schiff lied again.
Here's the thing that I would say. The whistleblower, would be called as a witness. The way I'm looking at it right now, and again, it's fluid. I mean, things can change, but I don't see why you need witnesses. The whistleblower, anybody else, frankly. Adam Schiff's going to have a lot of explaining to do when some lawyers may read back his parody. Some lawyers might do that. Read back his parody of the conversation. That's how he started this proceeding. So somebody might do that, I'm not sure. And then they'll have legal arguments. And then it'll be put forward. And I think, I don't think you need witnesses for this. That's my view right now. Let's take the last call.
Yep, Kathy in New York, final call of the day. Kathy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks a lot, guys. Lindsey Graham has been saying right along that he is not going to have a trial.
Well, he's not saying he's not going to have a trial. He's saying he doesn't think witnesses are necessary.
I understand.
There's going to be a trial.
Mm-hmm.
Let me play for you what Lindsey Graham actually said. Here it is.
So here's what's going to happen. I hope we'll look at the record they used to impeach the president. If they get 218 votes, that will be the trial record. Let the House managers present their case. Let the president's lawyers comment on the House case, then vote. I don't have any desire to call the vice president. I don't have any desire to call Pompeo, Hunter Biden, or Joe Biden. We can look at the Biden affair outside of impeachment. My goal is to end this as soon as possible for the good of the country, because I think it's a danger to the presidency to legitimize this.
I want everyone to note right there.
Look at the Biden affair?
Look at the Biden affair. The Democrats have probably fatally injured the best candidate they had who could have appealed most broadly. Now, he's been horrendous on the campaign trail, but maybe that's because his own party's thrown him under the bus by bringing all this back up again. Because they knew that going after this Ukraine issue, his son would be right in the middle of it. And him, remember Joe Biden, as always, bragged about, you're not getting your money if you don't fire that guy six hours before I leave your country. Okay? That's a mobster. And it's going to be looked at. But we're not going to confuse it with this, which is a hoax. We'll talk to you on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.